Good morning. This is another episode of Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Nash Gabriel with the Gabriel Cancer Center. And before we start into it today, I want to remind listeners that all of our previous episodes are available to be accessed on our website, GabrielCancerCenter.com. Today I want to ask you a very interesting...
Before you ask me, Shelley, I also want to mention that these programs are pre-recorded, right?
Correct.
So, like today, I might say, Happy 4th of July, because we're recording this today, July 2nd, right? It might be broadcast about maybe July 15th, just to remind people that by that time, July 4th is gone, but still Happy 4th of July.
Okay.
Right. There is a reason I mentioned this, because of your question. What's the question for the day today?
The question is, if you had 30 minutes to chat with President Trump, what would you say?
Oh, like one-on-one interview?
Yep.
Like in the Oval Office. Hannity does.
In the Oval Office, you get to sit and chat with him.
You know, Shelley, speaking of Donald Trump, do you know who was in town this week?
No.
Stormy Daniels.
That's right. I did hear about that.
Right. So, again, that's what I'm saying. This was June 30th, and she was at the famous Diamond Royal doing whatever she was doing. You didn't hear that in the news?
Yeah, I actually did hear it.
See, the news really is very good at reporting the redundant. I think the guy has a reason to call it fake news, which is becoming a term anyway. If I interview President Trump, what would I ask him? Question number one, when and why did you switch from being a Democrat to a Republican?
Do you have any idea?
No, but I can tell you some ideas. Here's the deal, Shelley. It's not affiliation from one party to another. It is the change of the perception and the philosophy that you have. It's just ironic that the famous people that have switched have switched to the extreme. I'll give you an example. By the way, it's very rare to find a conservative leader switch become a Democrat or a liberal. It just doesn't happen. Very rarely. The opposite is common. I'll give you an example. Winston Churchill was a liberal. He ended up being one of the most ardent, most committed, conservative, believing in not only in capitalism and Adam Smith and free market and all that, but Churchill also had the discipline of the conservatives. I mean, listen, everybody knows when you do opinion polls in the U.S. and when you ask the public on the opinion polls, who do you trust more in national security, Democrats or Republicans? The vast majority says Republicans. Generally, Republicans are more disciplined when it comes to national security, border security, fighting crime, and all that stuff.
Like we see now.
Churchill, I mean, if Churchill wasn't the Prime Minister of England, probably like Chamberlain, who preceded him, he was a liberal. He still believed in talk some sense into Hitler. And Churchill said, hell no. So anyway, that's one example. Of course, the best example of a liberal becoming a conservative is Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
See the pattern here? From liberals, and when they become conservative, they really are hard line. I mean, Reagan appointed the most conservative people on the bench on the Supreme Court. And he's the one who sliced taxes, who's the one who said the government is not the solution, the government is the problem, right?
Right.
He's the one who said the government is like a baby who has voracious appetite and uncontrollable sphincters.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, Reagan said that. So, my question to, there's some other people like, the late Charles Krauthammer,
right.
Probably one of the most syndicated radio or TV hosts on Fox. He was a liberal. He ended up then, I think, working for Reagan. And when you look, when you listen to him now, it just doesn't get more conservative than that. So the question to Mr. Trump would be, when and why? Was it that he was a Democrat by name? Because when you are in New York City, you're nuts not to be Democrat, because otherwise you'll be ousted, right?
Right.
It's a Democrat city. Is it possible that he became Democrat because everybody else is a Democrat?
And then he woke up?
And he put a lot of money in the campaigns. Actually, he put millions of dollars in Hillary Clinton's campaigns, Schumer's. These guys who are fighting him now, they owe him a lot of money in contributions. And that's why he keeps saying, I know how they think because I used to give them money. And he knows how easy it is to buy them. So that would be one question I would ask him.
What other areas would you get into? Is there anything that you would tell him?
I would tell him what to do. He's not the kind of guy you tell him what to do, by the way. I relate to him a lot. He's very clear in his mind about what he wants.
Even anything like in the medical realm that you would want him to know, not on what to do, but give him background on as to anything that needed to be changed.
Good question, shall we? So probably the best way to open it would be kind of impolite question or not impolite. I would tell him, Mr. President, if you are diagnosed with a real bad cancer, how would you decide on who to treat you? What do you think he would say? Now, traditionally, presidents or vice presidents and even senates and cabinet members and so on, they are treated by the military guys, the Bethesda Naval Hospital or whatever, right? And those are good people. But the one thing I want him to tell me, this is a serious illness. Would you really trust the care of a military guy, which you should, but because he's military and because he works at Bethesda Naval Hospital, is that good enough for you to put your life in their hands? Where am I going with this? You're wondering, right?
Kind of.
Right. Where I'm going with this is the trust that the public have in institutions.
Name recognized.
The name recognized without checking into the individuals taking care of you.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on prior episodes.
We should talk about it even more often.
Yeah, because just because you work at an institution doesn't mean you're that much better. I mean, you could be, but it's just not a given.
In fact, if you look at the, talk about oncology. We look at the oncologists who are still practicing independently. They actually are the elite. They are the ones who think outside the box. They are not, they cannot be institutionalized. You cannot domesticate the free-spirited physicians and the ones who think outside the box. I know I'm using domesticated, like talking about domesticate foxes, make them dogs, or domesticate whatever. But what's happening with, that would be something I would challenge the president with. So you will go to Bethesda Naval because who said they, or the person you're going to see, he is the best. Maybe he will say peer, stuff like that. But it will be an opportunity for me to kind of open his eyes to things that he might not think about often. And that is the vicious attack on community physicians that's going on now. I'm not saying attack that people are holding machetes or machine guns and killing us.
No,
they might as well, right?
It's about the same thing.
But it is an economic warfare. Example, in the last 4 weeks, the Cleveland Clinic, for the first time in history, has a sign on a building in the periphery of Belden Village. What does that mean?
It's their first line of attack.
This line of attack. Somebody sold to them. Right? A physician, I think Dr. Tumonian sold to them. I'm not blaming the doctor for selling. I am blaming the system that entices physicians to sell out. The system is very simple. Probably the Cleveland Clinic offered the doctor twice as much as he makes. You would think, what kind of stupidity would this be? You go and somebody is making this much and you tell them, I'll pay you double if you work for me. That's dumb, isn't it? Actually, it's not. Because for the same service, the same staff, the same physician, the same building, the same EKG machine, the same tongue depressor, the same everything, simply by having the name Cleveland Clinic, your fees are quadrupled or tripled, whatever it is.
It can be whatever.
Or it can be whatever. So basically, they might have enticed him by doubling his salary, but in 4 months, they will make all that money, and the rest is their profit. Now, actually, I was talking to a patient that day who heard about the news, and I told him, you know, don't blame the doc. The system works like this. And when I explained to them, they said, that doesn't make sense. These are the regular simple people who have a lot of street smartness in them, the regular folks. And they think, this is, doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? We, who are the we? Our elected officials. You have a zillion of examples of the disparity. Remember, there is a law that we wanted to pass, meaning organized oncology, that the payment should be equalized whether you get the care in the hospital or at the doctor's office. Where did that go?
Nowhere.
Why?
The lobbying power of the hospitals, I think.
I don't think there's any other reason. When there are fundraisers, and we do some, and we go to almost everyone,
Political fundraising.
Political fundraisers, you're right. Thanks for correcting me, you're right. Political.
I don't want people thinking we're going to hospital fundraisers.
No, we don't do that, no. But when we go to those fundraisers, on average, one-third of the people who are there are hospital executives. So
they're attending.
They
paid to go.
Yes. And believe it or not, they do have big pockets. And more importantly, hospitals are more generous in contributing to political campaigns.
Yeah, I smell something fishy.
Do you remember when we had the stats last year or year before? It is very, very hard to convince physicians to contribute to political campaigns.
Yeah, I mean, they looked at you like you had three heads when you said how much you actually support our politicians.
Right. So, Shelley, back to the question to the president. Who will treat you? And then I'll open the subject about why is there this disparity? Because I will open his eyes. Somebody says that the Bethesda have the best doctors in the world. How do you verify that, number one? Who actually is the person who measured that? And what are the metrics they use? Now, it might be right, because the military generally attracts. There is the discipline in the military, I think, makes better docs. But I will immediately extend it to, why on earth is Medicare treating these big institutions and hospitals in general so preferentially and so generously that they can actually come to somebody like me and pay me twice what I make, and they will still make profit? Now, when we say that, Shelley, when the Cleveland Clinic bought this physician in town, right, and they give him good salary, and they're going to, when they bill for the same services, they will bill double, triple, right?
Correct.
Who's paying for that?
Well, two people, employers, yeah. If it's you know, for patients under age 65, exactly. Or the government if they're over 65.
And that's where I have issue with the media, including WHBC, including WHLO, including the Cato Repository, including the Akron Beacon Journal, including the Massillon Independent. The media is absolutely silent about these things. All they care about is, what did Stormy Daniels do? That's what they care about. The poor public, they're becoming like being guided by the herd instinct. These are things that are critical. When you have an institution like Cleveland Clinic coming to our town and nobody's pushing back, it's a free market, but it's a free market with unfair policies by the government. I mean, really.
Yeah, I think, I mean, of course, the sale of a physician to a hospital is not newsworthy. Unless it's just the public doesn't know until it's too late as to why they should know. It's going to be way too much water on the bridge by the time they figure out, like, hey, Cleveland Clinic is here, and me as the employer, me as an employee, are going to pay higher. It's going to be way too late. They're already here. Where if the media would educate, like we're trying to do, and saying all the drawbacks and how much more it's going to cost everyone in the community, the employers and the employees, that's when it makes it important and newsworthy. But it's just not going to happen that way because it doesn't sell.
It doesn't. And, you know, Shelley, I was going to say, that's all true, by the way. I was going to say again, I am for a free market. I'm just as capitalist as it gets. I think even Reagan wasn't as capitalist as I am. But a free market is only free when everything is functioning in the free market system. Here we have the government, Medicare, Medicaid. They decide how much they pay these big institutions. Insurance companies have made the policy of following Medicare guide. So there is imbalance. Somebody will come and pay me twice as much as I make for the same work done. Unless I am really sentimental like I am, you will say, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it would be hard not to.
It would be hard to resist
especially
that.
Especially with everything that's coming at us. It's not, you know, it's not the old way of practicing as a physician, where you see the patient, you document in the notes very easily, and you go home. Now you've got all those added payment models, like the OCM, which you totally adore, the oncology care model.
No.
you have to have an EMR, electronic medical records, or you get penalized. There's just so many vicious attacks on the way that physicians practice that it's so much easier, I think, now for physicians just to throw up their hands and say, okay, I'm done. You guys do it for me, and I'll just be an employee.
Right. And the fact that the bond between the physicians in the community and the hospital is a very weak bond, which brings to the beginning when you said divide and conquer. We're already divided. The physicians and the hospitals, we really don't see eye to eye unless you are employed by the hospital. But even then, there is the hidden heartburn that you get every minute because you're employed by the hospital, right?
Yeah. You know, what would change that is if we had one common enemy, and that would be somebody like the Cleveland Clinic. If we realize that a bigger institution...
It's not an enemy, it's a competitor. Unfair competitor who will come here, by the way, the doctor who sold to Cleveland Clinic, all of a sudden, the revenues generated by him are more than double or triple what he normally makes. Did he all of a sudden become a superior superstar like whatever?
I don't think he had to go to additional school.
No. No, he doesn't.
It's the same person.
It's the same person. And for us, of course, try to change how the government does things is kind of hard, but I'm still hopeful that this current administration is more analytical and more pragmatic about how they do things. And again, that's a subject I will want to bring to the attention of the president, who actually will treat you and who decides who is a good doc or is affiliation with the institution that improves the quality, and hence you pay them twice as much? How much sense does that make? Now, everybody knows, you go to the Cleveland Clinic or University or the James, besides driving, you sit there for 2-3 hours waiting.
After you finally get inside.
Right.
The parking lot is way out.
I know. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be hard to be sick with cancer or anything and have to get inside the hospital.
Yep. And again, I will ask the president, so basically your policy, the policy that it's not his, it came over from the last 20 years, Bush and Bush Jr. and the Clinton and then Obama. They all endorsed the idea of big institutions getting better treatment than the small ones. The reasoning behind that is because they say, believe it or not, the government, Medicare, and private insurances, when you ask them why do you pay big institutions higher amount for the same service, they say because they are inefficient, whereas the smaller practices are efficient. Think about that. Think about the logic. Because somebody isn't efficient, I will subsidize their lousiness. And that's what they're doing. So the president, I will tell him, is this what you want? You are fighting hard to keep factories in Ohio and in Michigan and Wisconsin and everywhere else. You are even taking the risk of imposing tariffs, and even members of your own party are kind of, some of them are hesitant, are concerned about the tariffs. Although I do agree with him what he's doing. Yet, you are encouraging big institutions to demolish the little guys, resulting in doubling of the healthcare costs. And who's paying for it in the area? The factories. How much beating these factories can take?
Before they leave.
Before they leave or close down. Is that what you want to do? Is this well thought of, this strategy? Actually, is there any justification for paying more for services based on the size of the building? That's what it is. It's the size of the building. If you have a big building and a good name, a big name, and you advertise on like Cancer Centers of America, like everywhere else, if you advertise, you have a big name. And if you apply to a NCI designated cancer center, then you can bill whatever you want and you get paid all the amounts. So they have this cash flowing, and hospitals keep complaining, oh, we don't have money. I have never, you know, I visit almost every single city in the U.S. every year, giving talks. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a hospital that is not undergoing renovation and expansion. Okay, if they are struggling, they are not struggling. They should thank the government for being so generous and paying them more than what the community on-calls get paid. I think we have a problem. And I would love to have the president give me his input. Does he know about this? My gut feeling is probably he doesn't know.
I don't think he's down in the weeds deep enough to understand what's actually happening. I think that maybe his advisors are politically, they have the thought process of the hospitals in their pockets. And because, I mean, we see them, you know, the people at the hospitals are putting cash into the politicians' pockets. The politicians go to Trump and President
Shelley, I disagree with you on that. You know why? Because I don't think he's corruptible.
But there's no, I don't think it's that. I know he's not corrupt.
You cannot.
But is there anybody on the community side, on our side, the small guys, that's actually, here we are. We were sitting at the meeting and asking other community oncologists to donate to the politicians, and they all say no. Or if they do, it's $200.
So there's no one
as a force going like the hospital is from the community side and going forward to give President Trump and his people around him the knowledge of what actually
I just think you
happen.
Opened my eyes to something. You're right. Although personally, the president is not corruptible. Meaning, there is a Senator Menendez from New Jersey, who actually is a Democrat, who an ophthalmologist who was very wealthy, has a network of eye clinics, whatever, put him in a private jet, took him to the Bahamas. Apparently there was hanky-panky with minors there, whatever happened. So that the senator will give him favors when they decide on a policy for clinics, whatever it is. You just cannot buy Trump's conscience by a private jet to the Bahamas.
No, no
with
way.
With the pretty women. I mean, he has on his own. He had them for many, many years.
Yeah, he does that very well on his own.
And he does that very, very well. But what you open my eyes on is the fact that the president has still to deal with the Congress and the Senate to get votes, to get support for what he wants to do. Those congressmen and senators are intimately influenced by the lobbyists and the special interests. So when he goes to them, they have to appease their masters. And as you said, we physicians have little. I mean, the American Hospital Association, I don't know how many million dollars they put in lobbying every year. The oncologist through the whole United States was $45,000 a year for the whole, not per oncologist, just the whole thing.
That's sad.
So we're totally powerless, and that's it's a fight uphill. You know what? On the other hand, our show is for the positive side. Our show is to educate the public and the politicians and the employers in the area that, hey, this is going on behind the scenes. And all of a sudden, one day, you were unhappy that Affinity closed. Just watch out until Mercy is or Altman is owned by a big institution, or if a big institution actually will come here and open a shop. And guess what? They have all the money to spend because they get paid a lot. And you will end up paying more for healthcare, hardly for the same service, probably less. And that's our job. That's why we have this program, because the media is more interested in Stormy Daniels. I think we're a little bit more interested in the blue-collar workers who actually are making living check to check, you know, week-to-week checks. And I hate to see any one of them lose their jobs.
Yeah, and actually, the Affinity closing actually was, I don't want to say a positive experience, but it wasn't anywhere like it was sold out to a larger institution, which would have been way more detrimental.
Got you. Yes. Anyway, so those will be the main questions of the president. But also, I would ask him about how does he compare his three wives, this person, second and third. I want to know what his opinion about all of them. I don't think he will share that with me.
I don't think so. Well, I'll schedule an appointment with him for next week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy July 4th.